This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and happy Wednesday. I hope everyone's having a great Wednesday so far. Here in our city, it is cold, so I don't like cold weather at all, but I'm actually able to use my jackets, really thick, heavy coats. If, as many of you know, in the South, it doesn't get real cold, so we can't use our coats like every day, but maybe several times, you know, during the month we can. So I'm excited to be able to wear and show off my coats. So anyway, but I hope everyone's having a great day today and staying warm. So I want to talk to you guys about just something today that really has been burning in my spirit, because I love talking about law of attraction. I love talking about thoughts become things. That is who I am at the very core of my fiber. It'll be of my being. Every part of me believes and practices and studies and lives this out every day. But I was thinking the other day something that I'm actually writing a book on. As many of you know, I have a Book of the Month program where every month I have a book out for those in the club, for the Book of the Month club, and then we then extend it to people on the outside, later on, because we want our book club people to be able to get the book first. So I was thinking and pondering on the idea of so many people asking me things such as, tell me a little bit of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I've been pondering on this for a long time, and I thought, what better time and what better opportunity than for me to present it now, for me to begin to present it in a way of writing on a book. And so I've actually got a two book series coming out, hopefully the next month and a half, something like that. It's going to deal with that type of scenario, that type of what is the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. Not just sort of like, oh, Jesus came here, but we're talking about everything from what people say anointing is or is not, from what people call double portions, from what people talk about when it deals with, the Esther anointing, the Deborah anointing, the Daniel anointing. How many of you are familiar with all these buzzwords in the charismatic move, all right? So you can't raise your hand because I can't see you raise your hand. If you're driving, don't raise your hand. So my point being is I wanted to break all this down. I wanted to break out into a deep discussion in my book that deals with what we call the army or the warfare or movement or, how much of the army are we really supposed to entertain within ourselves of what we are as an army? How much of it do we sort of cast away and throw aside because it's New Testament, Old Testament? How much of it is the fact that in New Testament we're called believers, where the Old Testament, they were not called anything? How far is too far? How far do we go with this stuff? And then the number one key thing people ask about is the legalism, laws. How many of the laws do we obey in the Old Testament? Do we obey all of them? Do we but none of them? Should I even pay attention to the Old Testament? Should I not? Well, here's the key thing, as I want to bring out within this book, is the balance of both worlds, because there is a lot of things that people tend to bring over too much of in the New Testament, and there's others who actually just feel like, let's just rip the Old Testament out and throw it away because it's irrelevant to us. The key thing is that's not true, because we want to be able to pull the life-giving spirit out of the Old Covenant, out of the Old Testament, and begin to understand how there's a consistent pattern between old and new. However, there also is a cutting off at the root on a lot of other things in the Old Testament. And I think a lot of times people don't know really what to do. It's like I said earlier, how far is too far? How far is not enough? How far is, do I actually, entertain most of the Old Testament? How much of it applies towards me as a New Testament believer? So I wanted to be able to bring this out, and I'm going to do it in a two-book series because I really feel the need, the necessity to sort of bring it out, lay it on the table to where everyone can decide for themselves, and me begin to bring a good sort of, I don't want to use the word argument, but me to bring forth a good argument for people to be able to say, huh, I never thought about that now. Because I feel like these two books are going to be packed full of things that people have been wondering but never thought to ask the question. So I'm excited about that, and I wanted to sort of bring that out, because if you think about it, we live in a world that is very technology. It's just like techno. It's like, you know, we've got iPhones, we've got, you know, computers, we've got all this stuff. Plus, we live in a world where people have been able to truthfully mature, grow more in wisdom and knowledge. They act more like adults than maybe back in the day. Back in the day in the Old Testament, we see in the old world, we see people were barbaric. I mean, I remember reading a story, which I've incorporated in one of my books. I remember reading the story about, you know, the lady who her son died, and so she went basically and swapped the babies with another lady. This is Old Testament here. Swapped the babies with another lady, and then she took the live one while she gave her dead baby to the other lady. And then when the lady recognized and noticed, this is not my baby, they went before the king. And when they did, here's what's interesting. Here's where the barbaric mentality comes in, is the king was like, okay, hey, you know what? I'll tell you what I'll do. To where you both of you women won't argue, will quit arguing, I'm going to cut the baby in half. Take the live baby, cut it in half, and give each one of you each the portion. Now, many of you would say, oh, that is so disgusting. It's gross. It's nasty. It is. But you have to remember, back on the day, that's pretty much how culture was. You know, you didn't have it to where, you know, if I'd like my neighbor, you know, I could just go over there and kill him, or, you know, whatever, cut him up, or crucify him, or boil him, or whatever. You know, I mean, that sounds horrible to say, but some of the disciples were actually boiled to death. Some of them were actually crucified upside down, almost like as a mockery of Christ. I mean, some of them really died some horrific deaths. And with that being said, back in the day, there wasn't the laws we have today. I mean, if we don't like our neighbor now, guess what we do? We move. We have land, we can sell, we move, or we just don't talk to them anymore. We're more civil. You know, think about this. Does being more civil today in society, does that play a role in accordance to the Old Testament and the New Testament? Sure it does. When people sit here and present to me the argument of the Word of God never changes, then I want to say this to them. I want to so bad to say, then if it doesn't change as far as for you today, then the Old Testament, it speaks of a lot of things that really you would be killed for, murdered for, or put in prison for, or had your head cut off. I mean, to be honest with you. So you got to be very careful before you say, oh yes, a lot, you know, this applies to us. And you have to understand the system of man. The system of man has increased. The Bible says that man would increase in knowledge, you know, throughout time. The Bible talks about that we are 10 times wiser than the children of this world. So if that's the truth, which we know it is, we can see it played out within all society. We can see it played out within, I mean, even wars today are really nothing like they were back in the day. You're talking about people who are almost borderline animals, folks. I mean, let's just be real about it. Not to degrade people in the Bible, much less anyone in cultures back then, but thousands and thousands of years ago, there was very animalistic type of behavior. I mean, you know, now if I watch a TV show where somebody gets, you know, hit by a car, man, it grosses me out. And they won't even show anything. But back in the day, man, they're used to seeing right before them these things. And so, does that play a role within the church today in the sense of realizing that maybe some things that were said and done, we don't need to spiritualize it. Maybe we need to leave it in respect for that culture back in the day of thousands of years ago. So, am I a progressive Christian? Absolutely I am. And truthfully, every Christian should be progressive, because you cannot leave out culture. You cannot leave out time periods and time frames. You can't leave out how we've progressed because we're fulfilling scripture about how knowledge would increase in the earth. So what does knowledge do to for a person? Knowledge increases people to be able to say, hey, you know what? Let's develop these things called scientists. Let's develop things that we call, you know, telescopes. Let's develop things, you know, that we can look at and send maybe probes, you know, out in the universe to begin to scope out these the galaxies and the planets. So none of this was really back in the day. I mean, if you were to tell them what Mars was, they'd probably think, isn't that like the Roman god they over here in Greece that they, you know, believe in? I mean, you know, in mythology, they didn't know the difference. I mean, you think about it, they didn't know there's actually probably a planet out there. And so there's a lot of different things you have to take in consideration. And a lot of times when people want to cross over a lot of the feel, a lot of the things, the Old Testament, and sort of over-spiritualize it, I once about to say, you need to be careful doing that, because you don't want to downgrade, or you don't want to sort of disrespect, you know, God by doing that. Because God knew that time would move on. God knew that we would increase in knowledge. God knew that we were that our knowledge would catch up to us one day, to where we can see things that are very powerful, very truthful, very honest, and realize these things have to be taken in consideration. We cannot leave these things out. And because of that, we have to know, then how does God expect us to live? So how do we apply the Word of God? So within these two books, I really brought out a lot of presentation. Because I talked about a lot of different things that people don't talk about. Because the truth is, if we don't talk about it, folks, people are going to be in bondage. You know, even when we deal with the presidency, you know, that thank God it's over with. You know, because whoever was supposed to be in office, you know, hey, I really don't care. People ask me, they said, you're supposed to fight for Trump. And I'm like, well, you know, if I was an Old Testament soldier, I probably would understand a little bit better, but I'm not. I'm a New Testament believer, and I don't deal with that. In fact, nowadays, to be honest with you, nowadays, from my family, not that my family calls everyone rednecks, but my family and people that I know would normally say people who fight as adults, they're pretty much redneck. You know, that's what we would say. This is going to sound bad to say, but we would say that because we know that we're grown men. They're grown women. We don't fight. We don't take it to the streets and fist fight anymore. I mean, it's very childish. It's very backwoods, you know? So we understand the idea that, you know, we just don't do these things. And so when people would say stuff like that, I would say, maybe you don't know your position in Christ because you're not supposed to be doing that. I mean, the position in Christ is sonship, not warriorhood. And the more you move into being a warrior and fighting and rallying and riding, the key thing is you're actually belittling the very thing Christ died to give you, which was sonship. You're belittling your identity because that's who God created you to be, and that's who Christ established you to be on earth. And so there is a difference between Old and Testament. You know, one thing I brought forth in one of my books is the fact that Paul said we're seated in heavenly places. Folks, let me tell you something. People in the Old Testament were not seated in heavenly places. So you're trying to birth forth a culture of people, or thousands and thousands of people back in thousands of years ago, that we have no clue really what you're talking about, first of all, because they were not seated in heavenly places. So you're talking about the empowerment that we have is not what they have, but yet many people want to go back to that barbaric mentality to fight, to rally, to stand up for this, as if God needs our protection, as if God needs me to defend him. And so through that, you have to remember, you know, that you've got to play it safe in the sense of hearing God's Word and knowing exactly what your role to do is, and not take your chance of fate or faith and take it to the streets in a barbaric type of army mentality. In fact, I'll be honest and blunt with you, the word army is only mentioned one time in the New Testament. And yet people nowadays focus so much on being warriors, but yet the word son and sonship's mentioned a couple hundred times. So there's a huge difference. So these books will help people to understand, and plus I'm going to incorporate a little bit more of, you know, apps that teach us how to relax, apps that we can click on the iPhones that teach us how to have peace. I mean, there's a lot of things here that actually help incorporate us as human beings to be able to grow more even within the knowledge that we're learning every day about our bodies, knowing how to physician heal thyself. That was said thousands of years ago. Is that possible? Sure, it's possible. And so you think about the fact that we're energy, we're vibration, and there's things, we're just toxicity. How many people thought maybe 600 years ago, 500 years ago, that toxicity would actually be released in your body when you have anxiety really bad, when you're fearful, when you're worrying real bad, and you're under a lot of stress? Who have ever thought that toxicity, the toxins actually are released within the body? Well, science found that out. And so because of that, we're having to sort of understand that we're getting smarter as a human race. And we take the New Testament to understand that that's the character, the personalities that Christ told us to do. When people ask me, you know, are we supposed to go the extra mile for people? I say yes. When something very interesting came up to me yesterday, and that is when the disciples were talking to Jesus and they said, hey, won't you send fire down from heaven upon your enemies? And Jesus was like, you don't know what you're speaking of. You have no clue what you're talking about. And the interesting thing is, even now, even during, you know, thank God it's over with, but even during the election and everything else, there are preachers actually saying, you know, we curse our enemies. And yet Jesus said, love your enemies. You know, we had preachers who were saying things such as, let's do, you know, let's riot. And I will, you know, no matter who's president, they're not my president. I'm going to, you know, because Donald Trump's supposed to be in office. And I was about to say, Jesus actually said, I mean, the New Testament said many, many times. In fact, in Titus, it says, you know, don't speak bad about people. And it talks about good character. It talks about honoring and respecting leaders who are set into authority positions. And yet some of these people are literally just ripping out those pages of the New Testament and throwing them away. It's a very disrespect to the kingdom of God. So I wanted to bring out books that really talk about who we are, what we practice, and what we don't practice anymore, to really help each person out to understand a little bit more about who we are in Christ and what kind of character and personality do I need to have within me. So I wanted to present that today because I believe it's very important for us to begin to re-examine constantly, re-examine. The more we figure out, folks, the more we dissect, like what these ancient words meant in the Aramaic, and once we dissect more of science, and once we dissect more of revelation, you know, coming from God down, from earth to earth, folks, we're going to be able to understand more in the future that we didn't understand before. I mean, it's the same old thing of when you think about hundreds of years ago, where, you know, there was many astronomers who were actually killed because they presented that the world maybe, the earth might have been round, and maybe there's a solar system around us, and they got killed for that. And yet there's people that came in, you know, a couple hundred years later and said, well, actually, that is true, you know. And guess what? Could you imagine these poor people killed in vain? Imagine Salem. Imagine in Salem where so many women, hundreds of women, were targeted because they were called witches. And yet what's interesting is even back in the day, because the laws were horrible, if you even said, I saw this woman over here playing with these herbs over here, you know, and let's just say, for example, if you just didn't like your neighbor and you just wanted her to die, you could say, hey, I saw, you know, my neighbor, you know, Carol over here, and she was mixing herbs together. She's a witch. And guess what? There's no defense here, folks. They dragged her out and they burned her at the stake. There was hundreds of women who was burned at the stake for no reason, tortured, literally tortured. Because once again, that barbaric lack of knowledge mentality. So we have to take these things, folks, in consideration, that people all over the globe, thousands upon thousands of people across the globe, died in vain, died for no reason whatsoever. And today we would even, if somebody even came up to us that was even in our culture who said, hey, I'm a practicing witch, we would be like, okay, well, that's not where I am, but okay. Back then, it was like the whole town rallied and burned her and killed her and cut her up. And so you have to remember that we have to take these things in consideration, because God wants us to take consideration, because He knew we'd become smarter, He knew we'd become wiser, and His Spirit will become stronger within us, because even the Bible says that the latter shall be greater than the former. What does that mean? It means the latter, the more we progress in the future, God progresses in us and through us, and with us with the revelation He has for us. So we have to look and we have to take a different approach from all this stuff to understand exactly how do we stand, how do we walk, what character to walk into, and what crosses over from the Old to the New Testament. Very important we understand this concept. So today I wanted to just sort of talk to you guys about that and share with you about what's coming out for me here in a couple months, with this book. And hopefully just believe God that God's going to do some tremendous things within each one of you guys, hopefully through my product. I really do, because I'm really praying so much that God takes a hold of each one of us and just sort of mellows us out, chills us out, brings us some more peace, brings us more love, and actually understands exactly, you know, that the thing we're trying to display, the thing we're trying to present as far as this, you know, whatever it is that we believe in our belief system, we will attract more of that. We do. So whatever you feel, I've said this before, if you're a conspiracy theorist person, then you're going to see that all over the television. You're going to see it all over YouTube. You're going to see it all over everywhere. It will be attracted to the magnet in you that is of your belief. And if you don't, if you think, hey, Republicans are dynamic, then you'll see more good in Republicans. If you think Democrats are dynamic, you'll see more Democrats. If you think, you know, that charismatics are going to hell and you're a Baptist, and you're going to see what your belief system is more within society. It's just an unfair fact, like attracts like. So we realize that, we understand that. So that's why I'm saying to each one of you, it's okay to take a different approach, to listen to people that believe differently from you. It's okay. The last thing I want for me is to constantly be reinforced by people who believe like me, because that's great and wonderful, and I appreciate that, and it helps strengthen and sharpen me and each one of you. However, we don't want to make monsters out of ourselves, because then before long we get cocky, we get prideful, we think, you know, hey, everybody believes this, what's wrong with you if you don't? That's not what we want to present. We want to present the power of being well-rounded, the power of seeing knowledge and truth from different angles to where we become smarter, wiser, and we're able to help other people no matter what part of the world, no matter what part of belief system or culture they're from. That's the reality, folks, of us being the people of God like Paul, to be all things to all men that you might win some. That's the greatest honor, the greatest gift, the greatest thing we could ever be. Is understanding people and saying, you know what, I once wrote a book about your belief. Hey, I once watched a TV show about this, an educational show about, you know, where you're coming from. You know, I understand your abuse. I understand your pain. I understand, you know, why you believe what you do. You know, if people don't understand people who are raped or maybe their mother murdered or they were robbed or whatever, the key thing is it's hard for someone who doesn't have the wisdom and knowledge about that to really relate to that person. And the person going through the trauma and all the drama, they see through that. They understand. They know that, you know, your words are not doing me good. They're hurting me worse. And so it's good that we begin to take a different perspective of life, read things outside out of our genres, understand what people believe and why they believe what they believe, and respect all people, because God died for us, and the Bible even says, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he loved us while we were still in sin. Okay, he died for us, yet at the time we hated him. And so how much more of that could we be for people in our world today that we love or we don't like? Okay, so thank you again for tuning in today, and hope everyone has a great day today. I mean that. And please, as always, don't forget, go and create today. You are a co-creator in Christ. Go and create the life you desire. Pull forth a vision board. Make your life glorious, because it deserves a glorious mind to fill its life full of glorious things. Have a blessed day.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.